Is every heart clear this evening? It's going to be a little bit yet, but if you want to turn and hold in your Bible at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to get there. In the meantime, I will need a little bit of your participation. What is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? Your favorite memory? Just real quick, a few people, tell me what your favorite thing is about Thanksgiving. Family. Going to grandma's house, over the river and through the woods. Grandmother's house we go. We didn't sing the horse knew the way. We said the Dodge knew the way. Dad usually owned Dodges when I was growing up. It's, you know, those old wood-clad station wagons. You weren't really in style unless you had one of those station wagons. It's always great to go home to Grandma's for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving morning, all the guys would get up and go rabbit hunting. It wasn't deer season yet in Pennsylvania. Deer season doesn't come in until the Monday after Thanksgiving. But rabbit season was in. And if we didn't get any shooting at rabbits, we'd come back to the old apple tree and hope that there was some apples still hanging somewhere. Throw the apples in the air and shoot them. Thanksgiving for, though? What is Thanksgiving for? What's the purpose of Thanksgiving? What was the original Thanksgiving designed for? Well, there's all sorts of things that come into play when we think about the original Thanksgiving. We commonly think about the good harvest. We may or may not consider the good harvest as a point of Thanksgiving for us specifically, because how many of us really solely rely on the harvest? Well, we're thankful for the harvest, thankful for the freezer to put the harvest in or the pantry to put the harvest in. But if you have a bad year, it's not a matter of life and death necessarily. So we have sort of drifted away from being thankful solely for the harvest. And we think about all of these other things. And probably what's the first thing or the foremost thing that we think about when we think about Thanksgiving? It's probably what Chad said, family. Getting together with family. Whether it's your immediate family or some are destined to spend the time with the in-laws. You know how that goes. You know, doesn't matter how long you're apart, you're still the outsider coming in. This morning I mentioned to you, didn't feel like I was able to preach anything about it, but misplaced Thanksgiving. Did you go home and read that anymore? Did you think about that anymore? Misplaced Thanksgiving. What about the things that we take for granted? I'm not pointing any accusing fingers at anybody, but I dare say that we've all been guilty somewhere along the line, if not on a regular basis, of taking things for granted. Because we're used to having, we're used to seeing, we're used to experiencing, we're just used to it. Most of the time we don't realize that we take something for granted until we see somebody else with less or when we are without. That's what causes us to realize how thankful we are. We know when the power's out, we're grateful when it's back on. It's like, shoo, how could we live without it? I had the privilege, and as I look back on it, it is a privilege. I had the privilege of living for a while without running water. I think I've said that before. The only running water we had was how fast we ran with it in the jugs or the 5-gallon buckets. We did not have electricity. We used kerosene lamps. Did not have the indoor plumbing, which meant we had the path. We had a magazine rack out there, but it's not what it was used for. We did have softer things than magazines. We don't really realize how much we are blessed until we see somebody that doesn't have, or until, as I say, we don't have it ourselves. It wasn't too long ago that the request was made about two young fellows at school that came to school with bruises and marks on them because of an angry father. And while my dad laid the whip, he didn't care much for the paddle, but he did use the paddle a few times. But he liked that belt. I think he liked the sound of the belt doing 100 mile an hour through the belt loops as it came out, and then the zing through the air and the smack as it's on its intended target. Seemed like he could also tell when there was extra clothing on. He laid the whip pretty good, but I never had my dad beat me. He never punched me in the face, never slapped me around. And I could take that for granted. The young girl that I mentioned Wednesday night walking down the hall at school, and as I mentioned about that big refrigerator that was being carried out, how cool would it be to have a refrigerator like that at your house? And she said, wouldn't matter how big it was, wouldn't have any food to put in it. You know, we just take things for granted. It wasn't too long ago, I was talking, I believe it was with Vaughn, maybe some others, and said, you know, the freezer's getting full. And Vaughn said, get another one. Takes care of it, doesn't it? You know, that's what we think. That's the way our mind may work. But then we stop and realize that somebody else may not even have a refrigerator freezer with anything in it, let alone the chest freezers and the uprights. You know, we have clothing every day, and we're thankful for our clothing. You know, don't get me wrong, we're thankful for our clothing, but do we stop and realize how blessed we are with how full our closets are? Multiple changes of clothing. There's a lot of people that don't have that. Food, multiple meals a day, multiple servings at every meal. You know, I don't know, what did I do? I went back for seconds and maybe thirds on that meat today at the dinner table. I guess I could have just taken it all at once and piled the plate really full, couldn't I? But I'm reminded of people that live on beans and rice and maybe have beans in it and maybe just rice, and that's one time a day if they get it that often. Real people. Real halfway alive people. Oh, I know we bow our heads before we eat and we thank the Lord for the food, but does it ever become ritual? Does it ever become just habit that we do? You know, yeah, it does. If you have a hat on, I take it off and bow my head and thank the Lord for the food and go on my way, and not even realizing how blessed I am in the midst of that meal. For some of you, it's this time of year when you get a little chilly in the house, you go out or downstairs or wherever your wood heater is, your wood furnace is, and you stoke the fire. or you turn up the thermostat. We just are so comfortable in our living. We have heat. And it's easy for us, while we have these things, to forget that there's a lot of people that, right here in Indiana, perhaps even right in Martin County, that do not have that luxury. Transportation. How many of us have multiple vehicles? Housing. The protection of the house. How about friends? You know, we're thankful for our friends. You know, there's some people that do not have friends. Oh, they have people that they come in contact with that will kind of buddy around with them. They'll slap them on the back in friendship one day and slap them in the face the next. You know, I remember talking with Donnie up the road here back when he had the trailer, and he was in jail for a while one time. And while he was in jail, his friends came out and helped him take all the copper out of the trailer and sell it for their benefit. You know, friends. The young man in Evansville that I spent a fair amount of time with got quite a bit of money in a settlement, an insurance settlement, and all of a sudden he had friends everywhere, friends moving in with him. Gobs of friends. As long as the disco lights were going in his basement and the bar was flowing freely and the white dust or the white powder was laying on the table and easily moved around with the blade. Lots of friends. But then when the money ran out and all those little extras disappeared, then his friends left him with the damages and the picking up of the pieces and even the bills at the end of the money. Friends. But you and I look around and we have at least a friend somewhere. At least one, I'd say. Families that can stick together, families that they may have a disagreement in between, but don't anybody else interfere. You know, families stick together. There's some families that don't do that. The kindnesses of friends and families are freedom. We're reminded of our freedom and the cost of our freedom a few times a year. We have Memorial Day, we have Labor Day, or we have Veterans Day, we have the 4th of July, and these things kind of bring us around, especially the 4th of July and Veterans Day. It brings us around to those points of memory, and Memorial Day does as well, oftentimes, to the cost of our freedom. And the cost of our freedom is not just a one-time payment, but it costs every generation. If we don't realize the cost of our freedom in every generation, we lose our freedom. We're blessed with church. We're blessed with the Spirit of God in our midst. Oh, it may make us hunger for more. It may make us long for more and seek for more. We want more of God's presence, but oh, have you ever traveled anywhere and gone to anybody else's church? There are churches out there that make you long to get back home to church. A lot of churches like that out there. Oh yeah, you will find, they're there too, that there's a church somewhere along the line that you can run into, and you might even find them fairly often that are full of God's Spirit and wonderful services. And you may hear about those testimonies and think, oh, why can't I go to a church like that? But there's a lot more churches that have less. What about the talents? How many churches can sit and listen to a group of four young men sing, middle-aged men sing, a couple of young men, middle-aged, old, whatever, with that kind of spirit, with that kind of talent? The young couples, the children singing. So many talents wrapped up in the church. And you hear people, and you talk about it as well, but you hear outsiders that come in and they exclaim over the orchestra. Some of you have grown up here and you don't know anything else other than that. Do you ever take it for granted? Do you ever stop and think how blessed we are to have all of this musical talent that God's given here? The friendships of the church, the support of the church, all of that stuff that comes into our lives that we can become accustomed to and grow accustomed to the point where we take it for granted. Oh, we may mention it from time to time. We may think about it from time to time. In the midst of me talking this evening about those things that are taken for granted, I've listed a bunch of things here, but perhaps something has come to your mind that I did not listen. Do you want to add that to the list tonight? Something that can be taken or has been taken for granted. Health. I didn't have that down. I did not list that. Whatever reason, I missed that one. Our health. The age differences. The men. Because a lot of churches don't have that. The piano players. Those that are coming on too. Yeah. Jobs. Yes. Employments. I'm still thankful, and sometimes I think I may take it for granted too, but I'm still thankful for all the people that showed up here for painting day. Now, it didn't take very long, really, when it comes down to it. It didn't take terribly long to get this place painted and other things done too. And wow, it's incredible. One of the most thankless jobs in a church is the janitor. We take it for granted. But it's a big job. Anybody else want to add something? Thanksgiving is a time for thankfulness. Not just for the things that are glaring in front of us, the things that we commonly talk about, which is probably family. But there's so many things that we ought to be thankful for, that ought to focus our mind and attention on at Thanksgiving, but also all year long. I suppose some of you noticed and were hesitant to say anything, but I haven't said anything about really the spiritual blessings. How thankful are we for grace? How thankful are we for redemption? How thankful are we for justification? You say, oh, that's all the same meaning. Well, yeah, it is, but let's just look at them anyway. What about adoption? Adoption. Being adopted into the family. Grafted in. That's really a beautiful picture that God paints for us. It's an incredible picture. Aliens to the family, and yet through grace He adopts us, brings us in as a branch, as a part of the vine. all of these things because of grace. You and I are raised this way. Most of us here, or all of us here tonight, have been raised this way. We know, or at least we've been in this for most of our lives. It's been a very long time since any one of us has known anything differently. We become accustomed. As we become accustomed, we can become so callous to the realities without even realizing that we have taken it for granted. Even going to church every Sunday, even going to praise meetings on a weekly basis, to where we bring ourselves into worship, it's easy for us to just cancel out the reality that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. No, I'm not being hard and critical. I'm just going through the regularities of our lives. We can lose the keen edge of thankfulness for these things that we hold very dear. I want us tonight to picture in our minds something that is recorded here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we come into this week of Thanksgiving, and thinking about all the things that we could take for granted, maybe that we do take for granted, and we are reminded of how blessed we are when we see others with less, or when we go without. But also in this Thanksgiving time, let's remember grace. Paul the Apostle said in verse number 26 of this chapter, he said, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." He's speaking about a remembrance. He's speaking about remembering and being thankful. As a matter of fact, if you go up there and you see what he's talking about, you'll see that Paul, tells us that Jesus, in the very beginning of this sacrament, ceremony, that Jesus bowed his head and thanked God. He gave thanks, and then he broke it, verse number 24, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup after the same manner, and he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood." This is the New Testament. "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now I'd like for us, this is out of the ordinary, isn't it? Because normally when we do this, we have the bread and the cup in front of us, held in our hands. But I'd like for us to do it in spirit tonight. I'd like for us to bow our head or just simply close our eyes. And I'm going to take these two verses and read them again and pause in between them. And spiritually, I want us to partake of the sacraments. Some don't take it personally. They don't do it themselves in reality. But in remembrance tonight, let's be thankful for what he's done for us. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The sacrifices of the bulls and the goats, the lambs, was not sufficient. The Old Testament. But the New Testament, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, this is the cup of the New Testament. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Are we thankful tonight? Amen. Let's join together as we go this evening by singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Would you stand with me this evening?